Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
Good morning once again. It's September 25th. It's a Saturday, and I am your host. Robin. Clift is recovering quite well after having quadruple bypass surgery, and they really have taken really good care of him. I'm very impressed considering that first of all, they diagnosed the problem before it became a major issue. Clift actually had one artery that was completely blocked off, and so basically it was a heart attack waiting to happen. So thanks to early diagnosis, they got him in there, found out that they originally were going to do a triple bypass, but once they got in there, they found another artery that was clogged up, so they went ahead and did a quadruple. And shortly after surgery, Clift suffered a stroke which left his right arm totally unusable. But again, because they caught it so early, they installed a stent in his neck, and now he pretty much has full movement back in his arm. It's still kind of hard for him to raise his arm a little bit, but he's getting better every day with therapy, and he's looking a lot better, and he's really excited to come back on the air, and I'm looking forward to having him back. And speaking of, I do have a program announcement. This will be the last day at this time slot for a while. Keep checking back on the main page for the new times. If you have a time that works great for you, because we noticed that although we only have a couple people that listen live and a few people in the chat room, but we do have a lot of people that listen to the archives, which is wonderful. I'm very glad to see the numbers. It encourages us to keep coming back and doing this because, I mean, this is really, being on a talk show, it's a new adventure for me. Clift's an old hand. He's been doing radios in his teens, and he's in his mid-60s now, so it's no big deal to him. But I'm kind of new to it. There is a lot of work involved in putting together a show, especially if there are sound bites or other information available. And it's really encouraging to see the downloads numbers that people are actually checking us out and listening. But, you know, it would really make it even more fun if people would call in. And so what I'd like you to do when you listen to the archives is send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com and let us know, when did you listen to the archives, about what time of the day, what day worked for you, and if we can swing it, we'll go ahead and compile that information and see if we can, if it goes along with Clift's and my schedule, if we can go ahead and start our new show times at those times and get more people involved. I know the weekends are kind of hard, especially Saturday morning, especially if you're back on the East Coast, which I believe we're broadcasting at 1 o'clock back on the East Coast. But we really would like to have your involvement, and it makes it more fun to be in a monologue anyways. But anyways, reason for the time change is I start a new job on the first of the month, and so I will no longer have the weekends off, and so that's why we need to reschedule. And we do want to keep doing this because it is fun to do. if nothing else, we get 1 hour once a week or however long we decide to do this to just rant and rave and hopefully include you in the ranting and raving. And there's a lot to rant and rave about, I have to tell you. A lot of things going on here in Oregon, nationwide. As you know, we got primaries going on. We got a race for governor. And overall, the Tea Partiers are kicking the people out, the incumbents, which I think is really good. I believe, and I heard this on One Talk Radio, that probably the best thing to do is to start over. I mean, it's gotten to the point, when you think about it, that the people, not just Congress, but local government as well, they get in there. Well, they first of all, they promise you anything to get in office. And, I mean, we all know that. A lot of people are just kind of going, well, you know, okay, yeah, it's kind of amusing to watch them, put each other down. But, you know, I don't really care. We'll just, you know, I recognize this person, or this is the lesser of two evils, or whatever. So we don't really care. It doesn't really matter. Of course, Obama proved that different. But what people are starting to send a message to now is that the incumbents who are saying, you know, I'm a shoo-in. I've been in this position. I've been reelected 7 times. I've been in office half my life. I'm a shoo-in for the office. Well, people are fed up and they're angry and they are voting these people out. And now they're scared. And you know what? I think that's great. They need to be scared. They need to be reminded of who they work for. It's not the other way around. They work for us. And anyways, like this one person that was being interviewed, I think it was on Coast to Coast AM, the more I thought about what he said, the more I kind of like it. And basically what he said was, is vote them all out. Even if you like them, vote them out. You can reelect them again next time. But the whole point is to send the message that we are fed up of the same old, we are fed up of you not being responsive to us. We are fed up of the career politician. And we are fed up of you making our lives miserable, like the Obamacare and all the little things that was tied into that. But by not electing the incumbents, it's going to send them a message saying, hey, remember us? Because really, folks, these primaries is really the only time that they listen to us. It's the only time we're important. Because under our current system, once they're in office, it takes an act of God. In fact, it takes several gods to get them out. There is no, like in Parliament, a vote of no confidence where you can just go ahead and just say, well, you know, we don't feel that you're up to the job, or you're working into the best or for the best interests of the people of the United States, and we're giving you notice. It just doesn't work that way. And speaking of giving notice, if you'd like to participate in the program, give me a call, 646-721-9887. Or you can join us in the chat room. We've got one person in there right now. Welcome. And we'd love to have you on the show. And I'd like it more than just me talking for the whole hour. So give us a call. Anyways, no, we need to do something. And the 7 incumbents that did not get reelected, I think it's great. I mean, it's got them worried up there now, and especially with all the jokes about the Democrats not coming back in. Well, it's not just the Democrats, in my opinion, but it's just them as well. But some of them, like locally here, the race for governor on the Democrat side, I think, is getting kind of hilarious. We got in Oregon here, we're playing recycle the candidates. We got former governors Vic Atiyah. We got the current one that's running. See, I think Vic Atiyah is running for Secretary of Schools. And Dr. John Kisthammer, who was governor of Oregon from 1995 to 2003, he ran for 2 terms, followed by Ted Tax and Gouge McCool-Vingosky, who's our current governor. And opposing Kulongoski is a football star, Chris Dudley. And both of them, they've already started the attack ads, which I think is just humorous. You know, don't tell me what's so bad about the other person. Tell me what you, why should I elect you? I don't care if, somebody, okay, well, John Kitzhaber was governor for 2 years and he ran it in the toilet. Okay, fine, that was then. Thanks for reminder. What can you do better? Chris Dudley's response is he has the 26 points. Or is it more than 26 points? He keeps coming up with more points on what he's going to do for Oregon. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. All I know is that, I'll give you an example here. Here's one of his ads.
Public schools better. Chris Dudley will make great changes for our schools. He cares about our children, creating jobs in the future.
Okay, great. I care about creating jobs, our schools, and our future. Okay, that's all good. Well, but what are you going to do about it? Kitzhaber responded intact with this.
Well, first, this plan doesn't create a single job for those Oregonians who are out of work today, whereas my plan does. Secondly, it's a series of very expensive tax cuts with no proposal on how to pay for them. That means that money will come out of our schools, out of health care, out of services for vulnerable Oregonians, and we simply can't afford to do that, not in the middle of a recession.
Great. Maybe we need to do that. Our schools are an endless bucket of money. You can never give them enough money, and they don't produce what they're supposed to, and that is based on the SAT score that's coming out of Oregon. They need to be put into a limited budget. But then again, here's Kitzhaber going, well, my plan does this. Okay, great. John, what's your plan? I have a plan, too. I have a plan to put food on my table, and sometimes I don't know how to do it. But I get so tired of this political bouncing back and forth, you know, worrying about what the other guy is doing instead of just kind of focusing on what they're going to do. Just like we have a independent running for Congress, Art Robinson. Obviously, he has a lot of money that he's putting into the campaign. I mean, he's got two astronauts to come down here and speak on his behalf. But he's not putting down anybody. He's telling people how he's really he has a plan and he's sharing it. And plus, he's got the experience behind that to back it up. Not just a politician or a football player or like Kitzhaber, a doctor. And I don't know, but it just really gets it gets to be hilarious at times. And then they wonder, why aren't people voting for us? Well, like, dude, we're tired of you. Oregon, especially, it's one of the highest, top 10 highest tax states in the nation. They're constantly raising their fees and expenses and anything else they can think of to get money out of us. In fact, about half a year ago, they had a measure 66 and 67, which they promised that it would be the cure-all for the state government. It would fund schools, it would bring jobs, it would take care of the road, it would take care of fire and police, and basically the goose that laid the golden egg. But they miscalculated on one little thing. They were basing it on things being at the current level. The problem is because of the increased taxes, the insurity of the new laws, a lot of businesses left Oregon to a more business state like Idaho, for example, who've been actively advertising for people, for businesses to come and relocate there. They're offering them tax breaks and other incentives to come and move. And same thing with a lot of people. when you can't find a job or you're getting underpaid and expenses go up, it's time to move, and a lot of people have. Well, my point is the cure-all for Measure 6667, where they miscalculated, is that the revenue base that they were counting on left. So now they're still crying that they're not getting the amount of revenue that they were anticipating. And so once again, they're looking to put their hand back into the cookie jar and try to get some more cookies out of it. The problem is the cookie jar is just about empty. But do they get it? No, not really. When the legislature meets, do they talk about jobs? They talk about the economy? They talk about anything? Not really. They talk about voting to make the indigenous crab our state crab, and that was on a special session. And, again, they wonder why people don't take them seriously. And speaking of serious, kind of change directions here. Again, 646-721-9887. If you haven't ever called a talk show before, give us a call. It's really kind of fun once you get over the nervousness of it. Stephen Colbert, or Colbert, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, of the Colbert Report, was testifying before Congress. Can you believe that? They asked a comedian to come and testify before Congress. Why? Well, apparently for some reason, they think he's an expert on migrant farm workers. So he was asked to come in and testify before Congress, and I have a quick soundbite on that one for you.
Colbert of the Colbert Report has joined that group of celebrities who will use their media position to benefit others. As you can see from Mr. Colbert's written testimony, he has taken the time to walk in the shoes of migrant farm workers, and he urges reform of our immigration laws. I'm happy that the United Farm Workers helped introduce me to Mr. Colbert, who I had not met before, so we could spend a day on a farm together. His actions are good.
Okay. And Congress's response to that was?
Get on with the three witnesses and all the other members there. I'm not asking you not to talk. I'm asking you to leave the committee room completely.
I'm here at the invitation of the chairwoman, and if she would like me to remove my...
Anyways, they weren't too receptive at first. But Mr. Colbert summed up his experience as a migrant farm worker investigating the issue.
I'm ready to draw attention to this important, complicated issue. I certainly hope that my star power can bump this hearing all the way up to C-SPAN 1. And if you look at the recent obesity statistics, you'll see that many Americans have already started. Unfortunately, my gastroenterologist, Dr. Eichel...
I apologize for that. The cues got messed up just before the show, of course, because my cousin Murphy likes to mess around. Basically, Mr. Colbert spent one day working in the field with migrant workers picking beans. That's his experience. So the comedian went in, gave a five-minute speech, threw in, just like on his show, it was comedic, and he summed it up this way.
Spa, where a Chilean gives me a Brazilian. Spa, where a Chilean gives...
Okay, I could say everything isn't cued like it should be. But that's okay. That's live radio, and, you know, it happens. But, in fact, maybe I'm just back it up here just for a second, and we'll see if it works. Bear with me.
And if you look at the recent obesity statistics, you'll see that many Americans have already started. Unfortunately, my gastroenterologist, Dr. Eichler, has informed me in no uncertain terms that they are a necessary source of roughage, as evidenced I would like to submit a video of my colonoscopy into the congressional record. Now, we all know there is a long tradition of great nations importing foreign workers to do their farm work. After all, it was the ancient Israelites who built the first food pyramids. But this is America. I don't want a tomato picked by a Mexican. I want it picked by an American, then sliced by a Guatemalan and served by a Venezuelan in a spa where a Chilean gives me a Brazilian.
Ha ha. Now, this is before Congress. Which brings up another point, too, about Congress. Now, granted, I'm not an expert on the way the government works. But Congress and having congressional hearings on whether or not a sports athlete is on steroids or not, isn't that more for the Justice Department to worry about? How many times have we heard that in the news, that some sports figure is testifying before Congress based on whatever? I mean, that I thought that was a DOJ. But maybe that's just half the problem right there. They're kind of confused. Anyway, 646-721-9887. Speaking of confused, President Obama, I'll be honest with you, I'm actually starting to kind of feel sorry for the guy. He came in with, or at least he promoted, hope and change, hope and change. Things are going to be better. Elect me. One of the most memorable things about that was when he went up against Hillary Clinton. And unfortunately, I don't have the sound bite for this one, but he was putting down her plan for the health care plan that she had. And one thing that he said is that under your plan, people that can't afford health insurance are going to be paying a penalty at the end of the year and still won't have health insurance. Hello, that's what your plan is now. 2014, if you can't afford health insurance or qualified health insurance, you're going to be paying a penalty at the end of the year, and you still won't have health insurance. Well, yeah. But poor Obama, he's getting beat up so bad. You know, he's commenting about that he's getting tired of being treated like a dog. And he just don't understand why people aren't rallying in the streets and carrying banners that say, thank you, Mr. Obama. Thank you for everything. Well, if this soundbite works, this was in a town hall meeting where a woman that was invited there, who's a middle-class woman, her and her husband were doing fairly well. And she had a comment and a question for Mr. Obama, and it goes like this.
And quite frankly, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted of defending you, defending your administration, defending the mantle of change that I voted for, and deeply disappointed with where we are right now.
Now, when you look at the video on that, I mean, when she first started out, Mr. Obama was, you know, smiling ear to ear. Like, I think he took it as, you know, I'm tired of defending you with my peers. But she basically explained her situation and how it's costing more, and that, for example, things are getting so bad that it's hard to even make the interest on the student loans. And one thing that she concluded by asking Obama was,
and quite frankly, Mr. President, I need you to answer this honestly. Is this my new reality?
Regarding the economic situation of the United States, which, again, by the look on his face, when she mentioned that, I think it kind of hit home a little bit. Of course, President Obama responded with the typical rhetoric that, well, we're providing more student loans, more affordable student loans, lower interest, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's not the point. It's like Obama, just like with the health care. You know, yes, it's great that everybody's going to have health care. But passing a law forcing everybody to have it is not the answer, because the question comes to, just like with what this lady was saying, yeah, it's great to offer all this, but how are we going to pay for it? I can't. If I could pay for health care, I would. In fact, I have a student loan out that I wish I could get rid of, because it was the biggest waste of time and money in my life. But we're struggling to the point that we may not be able to make those student loan payments. We may have to. In fact, for a while there, when we declared bankruptcy, we had to get a 6 month, I forget what they call it, but where you can just pay interest only for 6 months, which helped. But, you know, a couple years ago, I was making really good salary. I was making about $21 an hour. Now I'm making $10 an hour and glad to have a job. So we're struggling to try and come up with our money to pay our property taxes, our homeowners insurance. They raised the cost again for vehicle registration renewal here in Oregon. We're trying to scrounge up to have money for that, because without a car, I can't get to work. And in a couple of years, now we're going to have to possibly lose our refund because of the health care that we can't afford to buy either. So thank you, Mr. President. You have really made our day. Again, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to join me here. And speaking of, going back to Congress and their immigration worker investigation, if you've been following the illegal immigration scenario, sometimes it makes you really wonder to put it bluntly, there are many races or nationalities, because like being a Mexican is not a race, it's a nationality, that are here in the United States, both legally and illegally. Why we are focusing on the Hispanic and bending over backwards for the Hispanic, and not everybody, is beyond me. But listen to this soundbite if it works.
So let me close by saying this. Long before America was even an idea, this land of plenty was home to many peoples. The British and French, the Dutch and Spanish, to Mexican, to countless Indian tribes. We all shared the same land.
Did you get that?
To Mexican.
I mean, do you ever feel sometimes like we're being sold out? I mean, for example, there's more battles going on in the U.S. about allowing illegal immigrants to pay in-state tuition. They're not supposed to be here at all. They're technically, say Mexican nationalities or Canadians or whatever. And if you live in another state and you go to a school in a different state, you pay out-of-state tuitions. But apparently if you live in, or if your technical home is in another country and you're here unauthorized, you get to pay in-state tuition? I don't get it. Now, I do kind of understand about the fact that, you know, most of the children that were brought here at a very early age did not have a choice in the matter. Okay. It's not their fault. So I can kind of see it in a way with that. But I don't know. If anybody has a better explanation for doing it, then please explain it to me, because I don't see it. Because all I know is that, and this is what some of the students are complaining about, and for a good reason, they can't go to a different school, different state, and pay the lower rate. But point is, why are we, except for money, why are we bending over backwards for the illegal immigrant? Now, the argument is that, well, we don't want to break up the families. And I can appreciate that. I really can. I really can appreciate that. But, you know, I have to relate it to the fact that it's just like, okay, I decided to break into your house. I know the consequences of doing that. I know what would happen if I get caught. So I decide to cross international borders. I know it's illegal. I know it's wrong. I know what would happen if I get caught. I bring my family over here. I bring my children over here. I set up a life here. But then one day, get a loud knock on the door, and there's the immigration services, and they're arresting you, and they're going to deport you back. Now, who do you blame? Do you blame ICE, the Immigration Custom Enforcement Agency, for doing that? Or do you blame yourself for taking the chance? Now, the argument is that they came here to make a better life for themselves, most of them. Because, to be honest, most Hispanics, most illegal immigrants, I mean, they're just people. You know, most of them are pretty nice, you know. So I'm not against that. The only thing that I am against is the fact that there is a way to come here legally under the law. But when you come here illegally, don't cry and complain that you may get arrested, that you're not eligible for student loans, that you're not eligible for some of the other benefits of being a citizen. Don't cry and complain that our immigration system is broken, especially when you go around the system and sneak in through the back door. I know people that have went through the front door. It is not an easy process. It's an expensive process. But when they do finally go through it and they come in the country and they're here illegally, they get all the benefits that goes along with it. But it is an insult to them to see people that don't go through and follow the process for coming here. I mean, we have the system in place for a reason, so it's not an open border. And as the person in the chat room mentions, to remind that it is the Fed's responsibility to protect the country. I mean, not just for illegals coming in because of the open border, the porous borders, but take a look at the fact that so far, I mean, if it's like leaving your back, you lock the front door, you bolt it, you chain it, you do everything you can, but you leave the sliding glass door in the back wide open for anybody to come in. And I'm just reading what it says in the chat room. It says, have you looked into the argument that the U.S. is helping cause the implosion in Mexico, causing families to want to come here? Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Because we're a carrot when you think about it. A couple things. One, because of the promise, you know, we are the promised land, the melting pot. I can honestly say I've never been to Mexico. Like I say, my friends from there, they talk about it, and they have some pretty nasty stories to say. So who wouldn't want to go to some place where you have a possibility to prosper? I totally agree. But the carrot is that we have to blame the government for not enforcing our borders. We have to blame businesses for hiring slave labor, which is illegal to begin with, but there's no laws there are laws, but they're not being enforced to prevent it. And to top it off, especially in this recession, if you as a U.S. citizen, say, want to go work for a company that is hiring illegal immigrants, and you don't care, you just need a job, you think they'll hire you? Hell no. They won't hire you. You're illegal. You're accountable to the wage and hour. You're in the system. You're illegal? Oh, hell yeah. Come on in. Come on board. I mean, yeah, we'll pay you less, but we don't have to claim you on our taxes. We don't have to do the Social Security matching. We don't have to have the insurance on you, all the other goodies that an employer has to pay for legal workers. So, yeah, they're going, yeah, sure, come on over. Glad to have you. Let's just don't get caught. But, again, look what it does to the American worker. And the argument that they're doing the jobs that Americans don't want to do, well, I can kind of agree and I can disagree. In some respects, I will say that we become fat and lazy. Now, also I'm going to throw out there that we've also changed our child labor laws that prevent teenagers and younger from working in the fields to make some extra money. I did that when I was a kid. I picked strawberries, I picked beans, I even picked rhubarb, which if you've never picked rhubarb before, that's wielding a very sharp, it can knock your finger off without thinking twice, knife. And as a teenager, I did that. Today, if you put out there that your kid is going to be wielding a machete, parents would just be all over themselves. Because, you know, today we raise our kids in a bubble wrap society, as I call it. I mean, I remember growing up riding a bike without a helmet. Yes, I didn't wear a helmet, folks. And yes, I have gone over the handlebars once or twice. And what did I learn about that? Couple things. One, it hurt. Two, make sure the front tire is bolted on very tightly because that's why I went over the handlebars. But if I had a helmet, I had the knee pads, I had all the protection, do you think I'm going to be as careful as if I don't? But my point is, getting back to the child labor laws, in my early teens, I was working. I was allowed to work. Now, you're not allowed to work. And I think that kind of goes along with why a lot of people now are kind of getting fat and lazy, and why the argument is that they will do what Americans don't want to do. And quite frankly, I don't understand it because I have a degree. I have I've been a robotics technician, but I've also spent 20-some-odd years also delivering newspapers. I will do anything it takes to keep food on my table and a roof over my family's head. You know, even today, the new job will have better hours, and if I can get a second job on top of that, I'm going to do it, whatever it takes. You know, but maybe I'm the exception. I hope not. But as the person in the chat room, Raven, has mentioned that, the government, when it comes down to enforcement, comes down to protection, the government not doing its job is what's created this problem. And unfortunately, the children are the ones that are suffering when you get right down to it. Again, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to call in. Give it a try, Raven. I could use the company here. I know of, and actually had the opportunity to talk to, she's 21 years old. She was brought here by her parents at the age of 5. And she was one of those that when she was getting ready to go into college is when she found out that she was not here legally. Now, you're hearing the argument regarding the DREAM Act and some of the people going, absolutely no way should these children get amnesty. Well, I disagree with that. Granted, I feel that we should not give amnesty, but at the same time, we can be strong and merciful. Now, here's my reason for allowing at least some sort of amnesty, green card or something for these children. Is going back to this person I was just describing. Put yourself for a moment in her situation. You grow up here. You don't remember the country that you came from. Everybody you know here speaks English. Maybe your parents speak English, maybe not. But let's just assume for the moment that, well, let's not. Okay. Anyways, so you grow up side by side with the children here of America. You don't know any different. You know, all you know, this is the way it is. You know, yeah, you know two languages, okay. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you turn 21, and congratulations, you are now technically an illegal alien. What are you going to do? Are you going to go to the officials and say, hi, I'm an illegal, please deport me? That which seems to be the attitude nowadays. Get rid of them. Get rid of all of them, the children, whatever. No. And I'll tell you why. Now, again, put yourself in this person's position. This is the only country that you know. This is the only lifestyle that you know. Now, they're going to put you on a bus or a plane or however they're going to do it. They're going to ship you over to Mexico. You don't know the culture. Hopefully you know the language. You may not have any skills because you couldn't go to college. What are you going to do? To me, my thinking is that's inhumane. That's cruelty. You didn't ask to be brought over here. You are a child. Your parents are one that made the conscious decision to cross international borders, to go into a foreign country, and to plop you into this situation. You know, any other, if it was any other situation in the U.S., that would be considered child abuse, putting a child into that situation. So, should we allow amnesty under those conditions, or at least a green card, especially for children that are brought here at a very early age? I say yes. But then the question comes up, well, what about the parents? Well, as I've said many times before on this show and on my blog, that my suggestion for a solution is this. Again, under the same condition, the kids are granted amnesty, green card, or legal status or something, so they can stay here. They must, of course, learn English or speak English, which most of them do, because, again, they were raised here. Now, the parents, the immediate family, father, mother, brother, sister, would be allowed to apply for citizenship under the current regulations of citizenship, meaning that they have to learn English, they have to go through the normal processes. Now, the Immigration Service does allow exceptions that if you are not mentally capable or you're too old, to waive the English requirement. But there is a method for them to do that. Now, everybody else who is not an immediate family, and I'm talking about cousins and everybody outside of the family, has 1 year to pack up, go home, and reapply. Or apply, because chances are they didn't apply the first place. They just snuck over here. And to now, after that one-year period, because coming over here illegally is simply a misdemeanor. Which surprised me when I heard that entering our borders, crossing our borders illegally is just simply a misdemeanor. Big deal. You get your hand slapped and you get a ticket home. Being deported and coming back becomes a felony, which raises the question is how come people get deported and they come back and this happens several times? What happened to the, oh, my God, it's a felony? It took all the teeth out of it. But this is where we need to get serious. Crack down. When we say it's a felony and you come back over here, it's going to be automatic jail time. Heck, as for repeat offenders, let's put a chip in them. They have them for gangs. If a gang member is arrested in some communities, they chip them. And if they go over into a restricted area, it alerts the officials. Start chipping them. I don't like chips. I don't like the idea of chips. But for repeat offenders, what are you going to do? But my plan that I just mentioned, I think, is, of course, just like, you know, the people running for office, I think my plan is the best way to do it. I think it's a way that we own up to the responsibility that by us turning our backs on the problem of immigration, that we were also the cause of the problem. And unfortunately, there are victims of the problem, and those, in my opinion, are the children. And like I say, we can be strong, but we can also be merciful as well. 646-721-9887. And again, program reminder, we will not be on next Saturday morning. Again, be sure to check the main board for new dates and times. If there is a time that works best, because we don't have that many listeners when we're live, but we get a lot of people listening to the archives. And again, thank you for that. I would like you to, when you listen to the show, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Let us know about what time you are listening to the show, what time works good for you, and we'll compile that list and see what works out best. And hopefully we'll start building the numbers up even more, getting more live people on here. When Cliff gets out of the hospital, we are going to also try to pursue getting some guests on the show as well. And Cliff does have connections being, you know, lifetime in radio. And we're going to try and actually expand on our little project here and even look at terrestrial radio. But first things first, we got to get Cliff out. We got to spring him out of the hospital. Be kind of like the A-team, but... But yeah, when Cliff gets out and gets back on his feet, then we're going to pursue other things. But also, I'd like you to, when you do email us, and please feel free to email for any reason, too, just say hi. Let us know if there's any topic you'd like to talk about, any suggestions you have. Going away doesn't work. They've tried it. Not really, but it sounds good. But... you know, point of the show is not to me just ramble, but to be informative and to have fun while we're doing it. So, anyways, that's we got 12 minutes left in the show. 646-721-9887. That's pretty much my rant and rave for today. Again, keep checking us out. Keep watching the main page. And we'll let you know what's going on. And your comments, like I say, are welcome. You can also comment on the main page as well. And I'd love to hear from you. So, again, until next week, Robin, and hope you have an excellent weekend.
Out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.